Maimer Sheni, we're up to Ayin Dalid. We'll just review Ayin Gimel, which introduces Ayin Dalid. Last night we learned in Ayin Beis a new angle on the advantage of Lashon Kodesh over other languages. And what he said was that the trap and the different pronunciations convey meaning more than in any other language, which has neither trop nor items like a shvana nach or a dagesh. And therefore, the pronunciation of Hebrew, of Lashon Kodesh, is meant to give over the idea. And to that, we learned last night in Ayin Gimel that the king conceded, Amar HaKuzari, Be'emes nitchasa ma'ilas shemoyis, bavur ma'ilas in yonis. If you have a language which is good for songs, shmois, which has a pleasant sound, that advantage is less significant, bavur maila inyonis, compared to the maila of a language which tends to give a better understanding of the word. Ki achibur mahana hanishma, because the construction of Arabic, of song, of languages that lend themselves to rhyme or song better, mahana hanishma helps the ears. Hamisayris hazayis kalela senyanim. Mashenken, a language which gives over the ideas, it covers the topic. Aval. So every time the king says something, he asks a question. He says, Ani raya eschem kal yehudim. But I see you Jews, you talk so beautifully about Hebrew. Atem tarchin lahabia el mailas hachibur. V'lach koizulascha meyoumais. I read to you from the Barbanel that in the Middle Ages, Jewish song changed. Whereas the Jewish songs of the Tern Vim and Ksuvim don't rhyme and don't necessarily have tunes. They may have tunes, but that's not the point. The point is that they have intellectual value. It's not worth it to make a sentence that has to have a certain amount of syllables to rhyme if you're sacrificing an understanding of what the words mean. So to make it rhyme, you have to bend the words a little bit. But for that, you're giving up meaning. So he says, why are the Jews now going to the rhyming type of shir? V'tachnisu ivris mishkaleyem, and you're starting to use Lashon Kodesh in the Mishkal. Mishkal is the prose, the balanced language of poetry. Why are you doing it? That's what the king asked. You just finished explaining to me that it's not worth it, not worth sacrificing understanding to create a poetic expression. So why are you doing it? I guess he's asking Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who did it himself, right? So listen to what he answers. Amar Chaver, Ze mei toseinu umeryeinu. What? Toseinu, the tough. The umeryeinu, and it's rebelliousness. Leidailanu hanochaseinu hamayla hazais, eloshonachnu mafsidim teichen l'sheineinu. It says, unfortunately, the way Hebrew has been handed down through the galus, we're losing the benefit of Hebrew. Shehu musam lechabra, it was intended to unify all Jews in one language. V'nishiveyu limachloikis, and instead we've turned it to a difference or a dispute. But what he means is, he's going to explain later, is that when Lashon Kodesh is pronounced precisely, everyone says it the same way. The Malayal, Malaran, the Shvanach, Shvanach, everything is very precise. He says where it should have been precise, we've made it into a machlaikis. A machlaikis meaning that, you go to Satmar, you hear the brachas in one language, you go to Israel, you hear another language, you come here, a third language, it's different instead of being the same. What does that have to do with this? No, he can mean here for Dvar and Shabbat Kedusha as well. He's not necessarily. It may or may not. The poetry could be Yom Zeh Michuvad Mikol Yamim, or it could be. That's not the point. I don't think it's the point he's discussing here. What you're saying is true, but his point. Yeah, his point is even within the proper use of Lashon Kodesh, it was supposed to be unified, and it's not. That's what he's saying. If we would appreciate it, the trop. Mishnah Berurah says to say Shema with trop. So you know, there was a stage in my life where I did it with trop. It just sounds very funny to everybody else.
Don't his father do it with trop?
No. Yeah, how many do it with trop? No, North South does not say it with trop. No. No, no, no. I dab it with Sfaradim. They don't say it with trop. They don't. They don't. Yeah, come with me. Mishchaydish, I'm going to dab. And they come with me. They don't say no trop, zero. No trop. Sorry. I'll record it. France, everything's true. Okay, I don't know. My point, anyway, the point is that the chaver here is making a very powerful expression. Omer akuzari, echuze. What do you mean? Omer achava. Halay reisa. Mei anashim karem b'mikra kilu heim eshechad. Have you ever seen 10 people, 100 people, saying a pasuk as if they're one? Poiskim be'esachas u'mechabrim kriyasan ke'echad. Stopping, starting, pausing, all in one, is like a choir. Amra kuzri kvaris benanti bezeh, v'leirisa kamayu lei be'edem v'lei be'arev. I didn't see it among the, among Edom or the Arabs. Lei tochen zeh b'kairei hashirim. I don't know what he means. Doesn't happen by those who sing songs. Haydieni me, usually songs, a choir does sing together. Now, I'm not sure what he means. If in his day, some people did it, others didn't do it. He's saying that in his day, it's lost. And explain to me the proper way. What is proper about Lashon Kodesh that makes it so unique? That's the question. So, and this is really his last question. This is the end of the Maamar Hasheni, the end of what we're learning in the Kuzari. He has a long answer, and then the Chavar makes a closing comment to the Maamar Hasheni. So, what I'd like to do, let's see the first words of Omer HaChavar, and then I guess I'd like to talk about it a little bit. Ayaches. One of the unique things about the Kuzari is that it touches on many topics. Usually, if you have a digduk, some talks about Digduk Lashon Kodesh, it doesn't talk about astronomy. If it talks about astronomy, it doesn't talk about Hilchos Brachos. And it's rare that you have especially from one of the Rishayim, such a Sefer. Here, and just tucked away in a small corner of the Sefer Kuzari, he has an analysis of Lashon Kodesh. Our problem is that the words for Digduk expressions that he used and that we use are not necessarily the same. In other words, it's come down to us as Shvanach, Shvanach, Malay Al-Marat. It's Lav Davka that language was consistently used. I'll explain to you what I mean. Well, let's learn the first words. Omer HaChavar. What's special about Lashon Kodesh? Mimnei shekibatznu ba ben shnei nochim v'loi kibatznu ben sholosh tenuos. Elay de'atcha. It says in Hebrew, we have 2 nachim together, but not 3 tenuos together. Now, what does that mean? So, if you look in the Kol Yehuda, after he quotes the language of the Kuzari, he says, Ze echad min ha mikrois bechibur halos. This is one of those places in this book, Shehirish esa'ilam kulai kloyadanu mahu. That makes a tumult because nobody knows what he means. We don't know what he means, and he says, "B'chol zayis, give me a shot." Well, it's a very expensive shot to give him, because as you can see, it continues for a very, very long number of pages and tiny letters, and we're not sure what he means either. Let me tell you the gist of it I could give you, but the particulars I can't. He's saying what's unusual about the structure of Lashon Kodesh. I'm not a linguist, so I can't tell you about the languages have it, is that the verbs all are uniform. There's a uniform form for all verbs. The rule is a verb always has three letters. Every verb, the root word of a verb, osa, diber, omar, kara, yashav, omad, all three letter words. Now as an aside, Rashi Shita, throughout Chumash and a few places in the Gemara, is that some verbs have two words, two letters. I don't mean two words. I mean, again, every verb is three letters. Rashi says there are a few exceptions that have two letters. The Bali Dikduk disagree vehemently. The Ibn Ezra and in general, the Bali Dikduk disagree with Rashi when he says there's such a thing. The word Beis Aleph is to come. They say the Shorish is Beis Vav Aleph. Because really, all, the klal is that all Hebrew words, verbs, have the same construct. And what that means, let's say you want to figure out how to pronounce something. In English, you really just have to find out. Because, well, look in the dictionary. There's no construct of verbs that's consistent that you could say, let me compare it. You know, to compare one word to another. There are loose rules, but there aren't consistent rules in pronunciation. In Lashon Kodesh, there are. The rule is, let's say you have a word in Lashon Kodesh, and it doesn't appear anywhere in Tanakh in a certain structure. Let's say it's always male, never female. It's always Lashon Payal and never Lashon Nifal. You just compare it to another word. You take another word which has the same form, and however that changes, this changes. However the word you're looking to. So what? Like Oimrim and Shaimrim and Oimdim and Paislim and, you know, it's generally Yashvim, it's all one form. So therefore you can go from one to the other. Now people say that in Dikduk every rule has an exception. They recently put out from Rabbi Yaakov a volume on Nach. They're putting out a 2-volume set. They put out the second volume before the first. The people, it seems in the introduction, the people who undertook to prepare the second volume just finished before the ones who undertook to prepare the first. So it came out at Pesach time. There's a lot of Dikduk sprinkled there. And there, Rabbi Yaakov writes that everyone says that in Lashon Kodesh, in Dikduk, there are always exceptions. And Rabbi Yaakov says it's not true. Dikduk means it's Medukduk. There's zero exceptions. There are just so many rules that every rule has a sub-rule, which makes it sound like every rule has an exception. But he says no rule has an exception, it's just another rule which supersedes the first rule. But the point is that he's saying is that you never have what he calls kibasnu, shnei nochim is the idea that there are two syllables to every verb, every root word in the verb. And since they're uniform, therefore you can sort of extrapolate. Now, I don't say that I know enough Dikduk to do it, but sometimes when you try to figure out how to pronounce a word, that's what you do. You look for another word that's similar. The Shalish Tenuais, he uses the word Tenua we use for syllables. He uses Tenua for Nekudais. It's really the same thing. A syllable is a letter that has a Nekuda, is a syllable. What he says is that generally in Hebrew, you will not have three straight Nekudais without a shva or a pause. In the Hebrew language, there are very few words that have three straight. You go through a Torah. Three straight vowels without a shva to give you a pause. A shva is a pause. It's hard to say there are none, but there aren't generally such words. Now, you know, hooray. But he's saying is that for someone who studies language, it creates a uniformity in the language. It creates a certain uniformity that you don't have a runaway word, so to speak. So those are the two points that he makes here in the beginning. Again, his point strays a little, because what was his main idea? His main idea was the Ma'ala of Lashon Kodesh is that meaning is given over when you say it, when you write it. He says every language, when you say it, you move your hands, you raise your eyebrows, you have expression. but Lashon Kodesh is expression even in the written word. And that was the Maila that he had said earlier here in the Maimer. It's a little hard to see the connect in what he's saying now. What he's saying now is that in the pronunciation, there's a uniformity which should, in theory, allow there to not be different pronunciations, different accents in the language. Now, unfortunately, in the Golos, there are different accents in the language. How far back that goes is self-debatable. There are those who see in the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham writes that there are 12 shvilin in tefillah, 12 roads in tefillah, and some argue that means each shevet had its pronunciation. Now, I'll be surprised if it's a shevet that pronounced E for an U, but I pronounced an ayin and an aleph exactly the same as we do. I'll be shocked, but the Kuzari is not saying that. The Kuzari says that until there was a Shiva Shalashainais, things were pronounced the same. There's a certain beauty to it. When you hear a Baal Digduk say words, there's just a certain beauty to it. Although sometimes they get carried away and it sounds awkward. But if it's said right, it adds to it. So here, he goes off, and I'm not gonna learn this inside, the initial piece of Ayin Ches, because it's difficult to understand what he means, in his description. And
speaking about the greatness of the language of
Hebrew. So till now he spoke about the greatness in that it conveys the message better. Now he's saying that the pronunciation is always better, is also better. It's a very tricky thing. You do have to know, I want to go to Ayin Tes. I'm sorry, I said this was the last, it's next to the last. Ayin Tes and Pei are the final presentations. See, after he goes through whatever rules of Digduk he goes through, and I invite you to learn it, very difficult, because the words he uses are not the words we're accustomed to, even in this Sefer Digduk, and that makes it very hard. Ayin Tes struck me, because Ayin Tes is what, you know, we always wonder if the Kuzari was written because it really happened, or the Kuzari was written just as a method of conveying. I think anybody who was exposed to Frumi Yidden for the first time would have to ask Ayin Tes. Look what he asks. Omar HaKuzari, Esh Aloyscha. I have another question for you. Hateida lama misnaya im hayehudim bekriya sevris. Why do Jews chuckle when they read in Hebrew? That's Mati's answer. It's Rama's answer. But it's not such a satisfying, answer. But okay, you know what? You're right. But you'll smile when you see his answer. You'll smile.
When I was speaking in school, I said, "Do you ever see a boxing match where all the people there moving the whole bodies with the punches and everything else, or in a hockey match?" I said, well, you're feeling the whole body.
Did you ever see some of these guys with the earphones walking down the street? The chaver, it's amusing. It starts wonderful, but listen to what he says. Omer haChaver, Omru, ki bavur heir hachayim ativi. That's a nice reason. You want to warm up the warmth. You want to get the varim for it. Ve'eineni saiver shehu ela mitzara'in shanachnu bay. I'll tell you the truth. I think there's another reason. Now listen to this. Since Jews daven together, people daven together, I'll say for echad. You had 10 people and only one book. So they made very big books. So everyone shuckled. You heard of this before? They used to shuckle to look into the big book. V'yashav, and draw back. Then he explains that Sefer Baritz means in the ancient lands they don't have high tables, they have low tables. So if you have a low table, you gotta keep on bending down to look at the word. And then standing up, and bend down and stand up. So he says, Hayazeh Hasiba Harishaina, that's how it all started. Since it started off this way, Some and other people copied the ones they saw. That's what people do all the time. Now, he doesn't want to get sidetracked. He has a few places in the Kuzari where he doesn't want to get sidetracked, so he jumps back to a discussion of Lashon Kodesh, and I hope Thursday night, to complete the Maamar HaSheni, and see his last point. We'll have to discuss what we're learning.